When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey, what's up, and welcome to the greatest episode of Serious Issues, a weekly comic book podcast ever recorded. My name is Andrew Levins.
My name is Siobhan Coombs.
And it's late. Not quite late. It's late. I mean, it's always late.
It's late by my standards.
Last time we recorded at this time, I think it was like the previous best episode of Serious Issues ever. So I'm calling it in advance. This is going to be the greatest. Every week we record our thoughts on the comic books that came out in the last week. Usually we read all of them. This week we read almost all of them.
Yeah, there's probably a few notable things that I missed, I can tell.
Me
already.
Too. I blame the new Nintendo Switch game, Mario Plus Rabbids, which has been way more captivating than I thought it would be.
Oh, that
you know what
nice.
A rabbit is?
Yeah, they're like those weird rabbit things.
Like,
right?
what if a minion had long ears and was French?
Sounds incredible.
They're teaming up with the Mario gang, and I've made fun of this game for months and months and months, and mm-hmm. now it's come out. It's like my favorite thing ever. I can't put it down. But I managed to read a bunch of books this week, and we're going to be reviewing all of them. We're including the finale of Secret Empire later in the show.
Woo.
But first things first is the name of the first segment of this show, and we review all the new number ones that came out in the last week. Kicking things off with some DC books. A little reminder that all the books that we talk about on the show today are all available for you to purchase at King's Comics in Sydney, which is 310 Pitt Street, Sydney, or kingscomics.com, should you wish to look for them online.
I think this is the longest I've gone without going into King's in like 10 years.
Who's going for you?
That's it. Nate.
Shouts to Nate.
Thank you for picking me up comic books every week.
Shouts to Nate. He's saluting you. This episode is also brought to you by two Patreon supporters. Last week was Matthew and Kevin. They get a double shout out. This week we get two patrons who have been supporting us for a long, long time. We get Kurt Tassone. If you were a graph artist, I would call you Tass One.
Nice.
Pretty good. Pretty hot.
Absolutely.
And also Tony Yeah.
Hey. I think if that's the Tony, yeah, I think it is. Hello, Tony.
Tony, if
that's nice.
Do you have an 80s freestyle career? Because that's a perfect name for someone who makes like synth pop.
Yeah,
in Miami.
He hasn't like half automatic
Spanish.
Call and response.
Yeah, I love it
with his name.
Tony. Yeah, Tony. Yeah.
Anyway, he's a long time.
Siobhan, when I say Tony, you say yeah. Tony.
Yeah.
You can become a Patreon and get incredible shout outs like the ones we just gave our good friends, Tony and Kurt, by heading to patreon.com/serious issues podcast. And we are actually going to do a Patreon Q&A episode next mm-hmm. week that will be available for everyone. But we're doing it because we hit a pretty nice goal on Patreon recently, and we decided, hey, we should live up to those promises that we promised and deliver on them. So if you want to send us a question, literally anything,
yeah,
we'll answer it all. It doesn't even have to be comic related. Send it to us, seriousissuespatreon@gmail.com mm-hmm. or even just seriousissues@kingscomics.com. Mm-hmm. Either one will make it to us, or you can find the Q&A thread on our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/seriousissuespodcast. But enough waffle, Shinbone.
Sorry.
Definitely what I'm calling the episode. Let's talk about these number ones, these first issues that came out last week from various publishers. Let's go with DC, mm-hmm. who put out three number ones, or two of which were the King Kirby celebration issues that they've been putting out. These mm-hmm. one-shots celebrating 100 years of King Kirby. It would be his 100th birthday were he alive this year.
Happy birthday.
HB, JK. And this week we got two of these cool specials. One of them was called The Black Racer and Shiloh Norman Oversized Special. And weirdly enough, the characters that I know the least about, this one probably my favorite of the King Kirby specials so far.
Agreed.
It has a big creative team written. This is like usually these are kind of like a two-parter. You get kind of like a first story by a bigger creative team, and then a smaller story in the latter half of the book, and then there's some Kirby backups as well. Mm-hmm. But this is besides the Kirby backups, just a big one story written by Reginald Hudlin. Which is, I never get to say, he hasn't really written much lately, so I've never gotten to say how much I love his name. One of the best names in comics.
I don't know who he is, though.
I know him because he wrote some Black Panther.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
We get Dennis Cowan and Ryan mm-hmm. Benjamin on pencils, and then inkers. We got Bill Sienkiewicz and Richard Friend. So a pretty incredible roster of talent who have spent a lot of time working. I think a lot of the people on that have worked on one of Jack Kirby's other creations for Marvel, which is Black Panther.
Oh, cool.
Another black character with the word black in its name.
Classic comic books.
The Black Racer, are you familiar with the character beyond that one issue of JLA written by Grant Morrison with Howard Porter?
Not at all.
Who shows up at the end of like Rock of Ages, I think. The Black Racer is like the Grim Reaper on skis. And he skis.
Which is way more terrifying if you think about it.
He skis through the cosmos and takes the souls of like.
God, I hope that's how I die.
Of gods when they die.
I assume I'll be a god by that point.
So you want to be chased by a black man on skis through the cosmos.
I would like to die like that, please.
This is about the other name on the cover, Shiloh Norman, is someone who takes on the mantle of Mr. Miracle. I've never ever heard of this character before.
Me neither, but can they give him a book now?
Yeah.
This creative team, please.
Yeah, why not? Great. Two Mr. Miracle. Let's have Mr. Miracle generations.
Yes, please.
This kind of was. Yeah. This is basically like a I think of all these Jack Kirby specials, none of them really set you up in the world as well as this one did. Mm-hmm. And it's a really great one shot. And I think if you just, you know, want to read some fun cosmic Kirby comics, that's, just like with incredible art, of all of them, we've seen a lot of different artists trying to ape or like do their interpretation of Kirby's style. This is really, really good.
Yeah. This is a nice version.
And Mr. Miracle, even when it's Shiloh Norman as Mr. Miracle, still has one of the most fun, ridiculous Kirby costumes, as does the Black Racer.
Yeah.
Basically, this is Shiloh Norman as Mr. Miracle. We see him attempting to escape from some box that's about to explode. But somebody, in fact, it's straight up, it's Donald Trump, has rigged it so that the explosion won't allow him to escape beforehand and he's going to die. And he's doing this because Mr. Miracle said he was going to donate millions of dollars to homeless children or something. And Trump doesn't want that. Trump showed up in two comics I read this week.
Subtle piece of political criticism.
We see the Black Racer come for him. And the comic is split into two kind of paths as we see the Black Racer chase after Shiloh Norman in his mind. And they kind of speed through space and visit a bunch of other Jack Kirby universes. So we see like a bunch of OMAC stuff mm-hmm. and the Commander universe. Mm-hmm. All the while we're kind of learning what's going on in the real world as he attempts to do his escape trick as Mr. Miracle.
It was a very good issue.
I loved this.
Yeah.
The art was great, especially the Sienkiewicz pages. Mm-hmm. Funnily enough, this was one of two books that Dennis Cowan did the art for this week. And I did not like it, the other book that he did the art for at all. Stay tuned to find out what that is
in
3 issues or so. So yeah, I think if you've been on the fence about picking up these Kirby books, they are very well printed and they have some great backup material too. This is definitely my pick of them so far. I don't know how many more we're going to have. I think there were like 12 all up or something.
Okay.
We're past the halfway point, Shinbo.
I would say so.
I enjoyed this. This is very, very good. We also got Darkseid Oversized Special. And this is a character that I'm very familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Came with an OMAC backup. There's been like an epilogue written by someone who worked closely with Jack Kirby at the back of all of these issues. His name is Mark Evanier.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a kind of like, you know, little summation of Jack Kirby and his connection to the characters appearing in each of these specials. And I don't really know much about him. It just says he's a former assistant to Jack Kirby. And he wrote a book called Kirby, King of Comics. But he also wrote this Darkseid special. So it was written by Mark Evanier. With art by Scott Collins,
mm-hmm.
Who I know best from being very, very good on those awesome Flash issues that Geoff Johns wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of changed his style up after then. And it's still good.
Yeah.
It's still good.
He's not my favorite, but that's fine.
It is fine. this story was a little less than fine. I didn't love it. It's kind of like about a bunch of people who oppose Darkseid's reign.
Mm.
Darkseid being the big omnipresent god of apocalypse, and we have not enough granny.
Not nearly enough granny goodness. Don't tease me with granny on the first page of a story, and then don't bring her back. That's bullshit.
Yeah, but this was very much about like you know these people that Darkseid sees as tyrants getting one over on him, like that classic ruse that's never ever like good when you see it done in any form of media where the villain reveals their true plot and then it turns out that someone's like recorded and broadcast their plot to the audience. It's fucking fuck.
But also this is like the worst version of that because she like reveals to Darkseid that she's recorded it while she's still like in front of him.
Yeah, hasn't hit the button yet, but she manages to hit the button, guys.
Oh, thank goodness. I also think that they didn't, like, the apocalypse is so visually silly, and this is, like, not silly enough for my standards.
Well, this is what New 52 did to all the fun, silly DC stuff. It just made it, like, gross, grey, and covered in lava.
Mm.
That's right. Every single city in the DC universe is now gross, grey, and covered in lava. We get a backup issue as well, a little backup story, written about OMAC, written by Paul Levitz with art by Phil Hester. Phil Hester's art is by far the standout of this issue overall, I think.
Except for the Kirby story in the back.
What's that?
I said except for the Kirby story in the back.
You're like 10 times mumblier than usual.
Sorry, I'm so tired.
It's fine for our listeners because I can bump your volume up, but I can't hear you at all. I'm just going to like agree with you. Yeah.
Good.
Give Phil Hester a regular series once he's finished Shipwreck with Warren Ellis.
Yes,
I want to see him drawing some superheroes.
That'd be nice.
DC put out another book that I know Shinbo did not read.
Yeah, I didn't read.
And maybe you would have enjoyed this one. Red Hood and the Outlaws, their first annual, written by Scott Lobdell with art by somebody whose last name is Kirkham.
Cool. Does Lobdell write the normal Red Hood and the Outlaws series? Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, Tyler Kirkham is who did the art on this one with colors by Arif Prianto.
Lovely.
Red Hood and the Outlaws is the team of... Red Hood, Jason Todd, with Artemis and Bizarro. But in this one, they have to infiltrate a circus to find some Russians. And,
okay, already this does sound right up my alley.
Who in the DC has a circus background?
Like so many.
Actually,
Ragdoll.
Two. Oh, okay, yeah, Dead Man. But no, Nightwing is who we're talking about. Okay. And so this is kind of, you know, we see a little bit of early days. Actually, DC loves showing early days Dick Grayson at the moment.
Yeah, totally.
In flashbacks in a bunch of their books. But yeah, we see like the
rivalry. I love young Dick. Sorry.
Hey. Sorry. Should I name the episode that? this is, we see a lot of Jason and Dick rivalry and some fun Alfred stepping in. The story is dumb as fuck, but of course it is. You know, it's Lobdell writing a circus story with these dumb characters in it. I like this series a lot though, and this was a good little addition to the ongoing.
Nice.
Yeah. I also love at one point Bizarro finds love with a bearded lady.
Oh, that's nice.
And Bizarro like himself is like drawn to it. He kind of has like an alt-right haircut. I hate that that's what it is now. Like that weird kind of like
yeah, yeah,
very
yeah.
short. sides, slick over hair.
Yep.
Sorry if I'm describing your haircut.
But get a less fascist haircut.
Okay, it does. It is a little bit Nazi-ish, right?
Yeah,
that's what
like
it is.
It's fascist-y.
Right?
Yeah,
okay, right. Fascist-y. Sure. stay tuned for us saying the word fascist-y again when we reviewed Secret Empire number 10. Let's move over to Marvel right now for a review of Generations, The Archers. Hawkeye and Hawkeye. Mm. Written by Kelly Thompson, who currently writes the Hawkeye series, with art by Stefano Raphael. Funnily enough, we actually learned what caused the Generations series, like these little one shots in Secret Empire 10. Oh. We'll talk about that later. There's a flash at one point, and so all of these stories exist within that flash.
Oh, great
storytelling! what did you think of this issue of Generations?
I really like the main Hawkeye run. I think Kelly Thompson has done a really good job of sort of developing a good voice for Katie Hawkeye. you know who I mean. But I really hated this. I didn't like her characterization of Clint. I didn't think that the like relationship or the way they spoke to each other came across very well. I liked the art. I thought it looked good, but it was really super wordy, and I don't think the jokes landed.
I find most of Kelly Thompson's work is super wordy. So that this,
yeah, totally.
This was, didn't seem that far from everything else I've read of hers. This pits both the Hawkeyes against some of the best marksmen in the Marvel universe. They're all on an island together wearing mm-hmm. these belts where if they get shot in the belt hole, they get teleported back to where they came from. So it's like Hawkeye and Hawkeye versus Taskmaster,
yeah.
Bullseye. I don't know, a bunch of
I don't
ones.
Think the Hawkeyes would win against Bullseye and Taskmaster.
Well, Bullseye throws a playing card and it nicks Kate's cheek and there's blood. And then the next panel, there's no blood. Has she got a mutant healing ability from paper cuts now?
What do you expect from us? How much do you expect us to believe, guys? Yeah, this was fine.
Also, it was fine now.
No, I mean, I guess it was not good.
You said I really didn't like this.
I'm sorry, I'm really tired. I really didn't like it.
The Shivong scale of fineness needs to be better defined. I also thought this was fine, though. So, I thought the story of them being on the island with these marksmen, that was fun.
That was fun.
But yeah, you're right. The characterization of both of them was... You know, I was in the mood for a comic like this, so I definitely didn't dislike it. Considering I dropped Hawkeye, maybe I should give it another look. I don't know.
Main Hawkeye series is good.
Weird, though, that they talk about Hawkeye, the original Hawkeye, who's in his original outfit, saying how pink his outfit is, when I've always thought of that outfit as many shades of purple.
Yeah. Great.
I'm sure he would have at the time, too. I bet you didn't read this next
one. One of the all-time best classic.
You love the Hawkeye mask?
Yeah, it's so funny. The whole costume with the little tunic, it's great.
Yep. Real good fun. Classic arching outfit. Mace Windu, Jedi of the Republic. We get a series now.
Great.
Based on Samuel L. Jackson's character from the prequel trilogy.
Delightful.
With his purple lightsaber, the balance of the Force. This was written by Matt Owens with art by Dennis Cowan.
Oh, yep. Excellent.
Who we talked about. Wait, did he do... No, hold on. Fuck. He did the... Yeah, the same Dennis Cowan that I raved about in The Black Racer.
There's more than one.
Yeah, it is the same one. Dennis Cowan. I could not stand the art in this book. I didn't mind... There are some things that looks good. I actually liked his take on Mace Windu.
Oh.
Okay, look at...
It's really different.
It was really, really different. I think it was because, well, I mean, this one wasn't inked by Bill Sienkiewicz.
Right, yes.
But check out his interpretation of Yoda.
Oh, wow. That's a pube Yoda.
Real pube, like a pube frog.
Well, Yoda is a little bit pubey.
But the art wasn't the main problem of this book. The story was just so fucking boring.
Yeah.
It was one of those ones where my eyes moved from panel to panel and I didn't take in anything that happened in the story. And look, maybe my brain is just shut off from Star Wars comics now. I've overdone it.
Yeah. I just hit a point with Star Wars comics where I was like, you know what? I'm not reading anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just done.
When I saw this, I was like, Mace Windu gets a book? And like besides Yoda, like the pairing is that Kit Fisto.
What?
You know, that he's like that kind of kind of looks like the Kraken.
No.
Like, what if the Kraken was a Jedi?
I don't know that much about Star Wars. Okay. No, actually, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, he's real Kraken-y though, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But the jury acknowledges the Kraken-iest of Kit Fisto. Anyway,
bad name.
Yeah, a lot of Star Wars names are. Yeah. Although I'm on record as saying how terms get made up for comics and sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
Jedi is the best made up word ever. Like, think of a better. Like, you just hear the word Jedi, and that just seems like a word that's existed forever.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh, it's a force.
Look, I'm gonna have to go through my full list of made up words.
Yep.
And then I'll come back with an official.
Look forward to it. That's a good question to ask in our Q&A episode. Maybe I'll do that for my question to you is what's the best made-up word? I won't be continuing with Mace Windu, unfortunately.
Fair enough.
Over to Dynamite now for a one-shot written by Jody Hauser with art by Jacob Edgar. This is in the James Bond universe that Dynamite have been doing pretty capably in the last year and a bit. And this is a one-shot all about Moneypenny. And specifically the Moneypenny that we saw in Warren Ellis's take on James Bond recently with Ian Masters. I loved the fucking hell out of this book.
Oh man, I did not.
Damn, that sucks.
I really loved the cover.
Right, yeah, the cover is excellent.
Tula Lote. I thought the book was let down by the art a little bit.
The art felt tumblery to me.
Yeah, yeah, tumblery or deviant-arty or just not finished. Oh, that sounds a little bit cunty.
Well, I think Dynamite have a limited budget when it comes to colorists, inkers. I think a bit more time could have been spent. I think the pencils themselves aren't too bad. I think it's just the finishing touches. Yeah. But from
the panels are pretty funny, like this one where she's running really fast.
Yeah.
From a standstill.
Where are the speed lines?
Yeah.
So this kind of is like a semi-origin story for this version of Moneypenny, and then backed with a current mission that she's on.
Mm.
I really liked the action scenes in this. Like, even though they weren't drawn as well, I thought they were written really well.
Yeah. Yeah, I just found that this sort of... I felt unsatisfied by the end. I don't know,
Yeah, it ends very... I kind of saw that coming, that it was going to... Because I think this is definitely Jody Hauser taking a page out of the Warren Ellis way of, everything wraps up immediately on that final page, and there's barely any kind of afterthought, which I enjoyed. In this, I thought I was kind of, I think this was all about those action scenes for me, where we see what a capable kind of spy Moneypenny is.
Yeah. I mean, I would want to see more Moneypenny, really.
I want to read more from Jodie Hauser. I think Jodie Hauser is a really good writer.
Agreed.
She really won me over on Mother Panic, and I'm even reading a fucking Faith book now on Valiant.
Oh, really?
That she's writing. Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah. I will be reviewing it later in the show.
Oh, cool.
Spoilers. I enjoyed it.
Nice.
Moneypenny. I really like this world that they're creating with James Bond. Like, I never thought I would be really enjoying James Bond comics. Like, I think I enjoyed that Warren Ellis run on James Bond more than I've enjoyed any James Bond movie before.
Yeah, same.
So I'm pretty invested in seeing what they do with the franchise at Dynamite now. And this was a nice little addition.
Hmm.
Final book comes from a recommendation. Usually you hear his guest Patreon reviews each week, but he didn't send us one this week. Tom Burton is who I'm talking about, a good listener and supporter of the podcast.
good listener.
Good listener is a great listener. Tom is a wonderful, wonderful listener.
All my problems.
He does every single week. We talk about our problems a lot on this podcast. I'm actually very proud of us for not starting with, the latest in baby updates.
It's a lot of baby news.
I got health updates, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we'll put them at the end. Find out if I'm going to die
exclusive.
Or not. Yeah, Patreon exclusive. How many years does Levins have left to live? Anyway, Tom recommended us read a comic, or he asked us to pick up a comic.
Yeah.
A Halo book. I've never played a Halo game.
Me neither.
I've never owned an Xbox, so.
Oh, can you only play them on Xbox? Yeah. I know nothing about video games.
You know,
I know a little bit.
You know that Crash is a bandicoot who wears
Crash is a bandicoot.
Who wears jorts.
I like Ace Attorney.
Oh,
the Ace Attorney series.
No objections from me on that one. What else?
I used to be really into that Professor Layton.
Yep.
Game series.
What about, they made a Professor Layton and Ace Attorney game together.
Did yes,
you play
I
that?
Played that. I
oh, cool.
Play that. It was good fun.
Good one.
Yeah, it was alright.
A good crossover.
I mean, I still prefer the separate series, but.
There you go. You can never please everyone. Halo, Rise of Atra. Atra?
Atriox. I don't know. I was like, what's the most sci-fi way for that to sound? Atriox.
And would you believe that a new number one through Dark Horse Comics was written by Cullen Bunn? How many fucking comics does he work on at once?
Like, what? Is he on, does he do meth? Or, like, how is he staying up?
I think, you know how they revealed in DC that there are many Jokers?
Oh, yeah.
I think there are many Cullen Bunns.
He's actually multiple man.
Art on this one is by Eric Nguyen with colors by Alexi Bricklot. Look, even though I think the first few pages where we kind of are introduced to a soldier and she's kind of getting reports from an AI unit or a hologram of some kind of letting, or maybe it is a real person talking to her via hologram.
I really couldn't tell.
I don't know how this universe works. basically she's finding out that, like, you know, a bunch of alien invaders have come through and they're battling with her soldiers, and the soldiers are being depleted one by one. We know that the other soldiers are these big giant apes, and they're kind of just kind of sent, even though they know they're just going to be destroyed. They're courageous soldiers who just go and do their mission. And
I enjoy the lengths that, like, war games have to go to be like, no, this war is justified. Look, they're just big evil monkeys and they're killing us for no reason. So it's okay for us to shoot them.
So basically this introduces us to a sergeant who is kind of like seeing her entire squadron get killed one by one really rapidly, and then she herself has to enter the battle, and pretty much it's just down to her versus one last giant evil monkey. And
I'm guessing that's our Atriox, correct? Is this him rising?
Atriox is the big, bald, freaky monkey.
Yeah.
I've never realized there was so much monkey stuff in Halo.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I thought, clearly. The only thing I know about Halo is Master Chief.
He
wears the big space hat. There's no space hats in this book.
Man, did you see that Taika Waititi got a life-size model of that Jack Kirby space helmet made?
Really?
Yeah, and just wears it.
Like, while he's directing?
I hope so.
That's amazing.
He put up a post like, happy 100th birthday, King Kirby, and he's just wearing it like...
That's awesome. Taika Waititi is a treasure.
He is such a delight.
I hope they, like, tap him to write a comic after he does Ragnarok.
Yeah. I mean,
the payday
isn't as good.
I know, but I feel like he's got a million stories in his, in his crazy head.
True.
Give us a boy. Put boy in the Marvel Universe. Did you see Boy?
No.
It's very good. It's a very grounded, sad New Zealand story.
I liked, how's that? Wilder Ricky Wilson? People? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, that was good.
All these movies are good. Eagle versus Shark.
Yep. What We Do in the Shadows.
The Marvel Universe. What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh my God. Yeah, just do What We Do in the Shadows. Although that's pretty much what he did with those Thor videos. I'm sorry, Mobius. I'm just rambling about
Taika. Put Mobius crossover with, not Mobius, Morbius. Who's the vampire in the Marvel Universe?
There is a Dracula in the Marvel Universe.
Is it Mobius? Is it Morbius or Mobius?
No, the E.
The E. Isn't Mobius the artist?
They have nothing to do with each other.
But they're both called Nate. I don't know if I think it's Morbius. Morbius is the.
No way! It's with the E. Mobius.
You got a computer in front of you?
No, I can't. No, I refuse to look at the computer. No, it's with the E.
I've got a computer in front of me too. I'm going to look it up. Morbius, the living vampire. It's not Mobius. Mobius is the... I'm looking it up. Because of my health lately, it's like recommending me all these weird things. Morbidly obese. Morbidly obese, the living vampire. It's Morbius. Michael Morbius. The living vampire. Fuck you, Nate.
Michael Morbius? Yeah.
I can't remember what we were talking about. Whatever. That's the end of First Things First. I love recording late. Now we play an exciting game called Roll the Dice for Image, Marvel, or DC. This almost didn't happen this week, Siobhan.
Oh my God, how come?
Because Archie found my recording stuff on my 3-year-old son, unzipped the little sleeve that I keep my recorder in. Thankfully, didn't like do anything in the recorder, found the dice and ran out of the room, and I was like, oh, Archie, don't do anything with it. And then he came back like 30 seconds later. I was like, where's the dice? And he goes, I don't know. And I said, what do you mean you don't know? He goes, I threw it and it's gone. So then I was it was behind a couch cushion.
Nice.
Where everything ends up.
Obviously.
So 1 to 2 on this dice. If we roll it, we talk about Marvel first. If 3 to 4, it's DC. 5 to 6, it's Image. There's only one DC book, so that'll be a quick one. 2 DC books.
Mm.
4, DC first.
Nice.
3, 4. What the fuck? 2, if I was like, I'm going to DC, then Marvel, then Image.
Great.
People that just want to hear us talk about Secret Empire are like, fucking come on. let's talk about the one DC book that we both read. And yeah, for once, I didn't read something.
Whoa.
I'm sure that's happening with more regularity these days. Whatever. Yeah. Wonder Woman number 29, written by fill-in writer. This fill-in team that are doing quite a good job. We always say so each week. Except, god damn it. I wish DC would just put the full names of the creators somewhere easier to find. Shea Fontana.
Yeah, who I believe works on the DC Superhero Girls.
Right.
TV show?
And does she do the Bombshell stuff as well? No.
I don't know. Maybe,
Shea Fontana.
That's a good name.
Maki Miranda on art this week. I thought the art was like similar to the Moneypenny shot. It seemed a little bit unfinished.
Yeah. Yep, I agree.
But this is a team up between Wonder Woman and Etta Candy as a bunch of assassins try to take out Etta Candy. And it's up to Wonder Woman and her kind of recovering friend to take these assassins out. This is fun.
Yeah.
It was just a really fun superhero comic.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
And I think it's a good little kind of fun taste of how much fun Wonder Woman can be.
Yeah.
Before we get, I think, quite a heavy story once James Robinson takes over and does this, what if Wonder Woman had a brother?
Yeah. Yep. Sounds silly.
My theory is that Wonder Woman's brother is Cullen Bunn.
One of the many Cullen Bunns. One of them's got to be.
All-Star Batman, number 13. Everyone, she's exhausted. She can barely raise her voice above a whisper. Can she review a book on her own? Because I did not read this book this week.
I'm not going to do a good job. Great. Let's admit that. Because I barely remember what's going on in this story. Something, something, Alfred, something, Squires,
yeah, so,
something, something.
Yeah, I will read. Oh, I'll get around to reading it. I don't dislike it. I just was not in the goddamn mood to read it, Scott Snyder.
Yeah, fair enough. The Raphael Albuquerque art is delightful. I like all the flashback sequences. Just give me a straight Young Alfred book. I don't need all these like long sequences.
Imagine a book called Young Alfred.
That would be amazing.
Young Alfred and Young Dick. Make it happen, DC.
Together at last. But like all these like the contemporary bits that are all like Alfred just talking about how much he loves Master Bruce and how much he wishes they could go retire together and stuff. I don't need that. I don't need all these like long sentimental speeches that Scott Snyder loves.
We've just give seen me a straight The Dark Knight up. Rises. He drinks his Fernet Branca. You know, at the end when Michael Caine's like, I want to see you, sir. I drink my Fernet Branca and I look
You're
over
incredible.
There.
Incredible. Michael Caine is incredible.
I just want to see you over there and I think I'll look at you and you'll be very happy, sir. That's verbatim how
that
the
incredible.
End of Dark Knight Rises.
It was like he was in the room. The backup story by Declan Shalvey, and I can't remember who the writer is.
That's not Declan Shalvey, is it?
It is too, isn't it?
No, this is written by Raphael Albuquerque. I don't even read it, and I know. Written by Raphael Albuquerque and art by one of his mates.
Oh, yeah.
About the Russians.
What's wrong with me? Yeah. Why did I think it was Declan Shalvey?
He was doing backups.
Okay.
And then Francesco Francavilla did backups, and now these guys are doing
Now it's Sebastian Fumara. Fumara. Anyway, that was cool.
I think it's almost done. This is like the first DC Rebirth series that's going to end.
Yeah. Yep. Which is pretty, because I'm pretty sure Scott Snyder was like, I'll keep it going as long as it sells. And so clearly.
I mean, this is fucking selling, I'm sure.
I'm sure anything with Batman.
Anything with
Batman on the cover.
But yeah, he's doing the metal stuff.
Oh, yeah. I like that better.
That's a very short DC segment. It was, wasn't even a fifth week of the month, was it?
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess it kind of was.
I have no idea what day it is.
No, you're right. Yeah, it was the fifth week. It was like late August. So DC always, never have books for they always put out weird annuals and things like that. So let's talk about Marvel, specifically Secret Empire, number 10, the kind of finale of this, because we've still got Secret Empire, Rebirth or something.
All different Secret Empire. I have no idea.
There's a finale comic, a little epilogue comic coming out soon too. Written by Nick Spencer with an enormous roster of artists on this one. Most of this issue was done by Steve McNiven.
Yep.
We also got Rod Reyes, who I learnt is a listener Serious Issues. So shouts to Rod Reyes.
That's delightful.
Sorry for, I'm sure, butchering the pronunciation of your name every week. We've got David.
You're not alone.
Yeah, I know. You join a plethora of other artists that we do it to constantly. David Marquez is on this, Paco Medina, Juan Velasco, Jesus Abertov, and Ron Lim, all doing art on this book. Colors by Matt Wilson. This is the big finale fight between our heroes and a cosmic cubed up Nazi fascist Captain America.
Nice.
I thought this was fine.
Largely.
I got in before you did. The whole thing, because basically, okay, we're going to spoil somewhat Secret Empire. I feel like you kind of guess what's going to happen in the first issue anyway, as soon as there's like flashbacks to the Rod Reyes drawn stuff of Steve Rogers kind of trapped somewhere with cosmic cubey shit, Kobic stuff. But basically, Hydra Cap gets beaten up by the original good Cap.
By regular Cap.
Sam Wilson helps. I don't know. The whole thing felt like this is Nick Spencer's response to the Peppy Frog getting turned into an alt-right fascist meme. Because the whole thing is like, yeah, you can try and rewrite Captain America as a fascist, but the true heart of Captain America will never let you do that.
Mm.
Just like Peppy, the frog.
Yep, I think that's precisely what he's trying to get at. You cracked it.
So I think it's not great by any means. No. As an event, it's leagues above Civil War II. As an end of event, like the final issue of an event, I didn't go, what the fuck was the point of this?
Yeah.
Which I think is an important thing to achieve for the final issue of an event comic, specifically a Marvel one.
Absolutely. But it does feel like why did this even...
Because you've got to write an event. I doubt Nick Spencer has always wanted to tell this story all his life. He just thought of a cool idea.
Yeah.
That would create some controversy and we now know that the real Captain America was never really a fascist.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Like all that outrage over nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so shocked. I thought they were going to make him a real deal Nazi forever. And then all of a sudden Marvel would start publishing all these comics that were like, I hate Jews.
I love that double page spread though of Captain America womping Hydra Cap with Thor's hammer.
That's the official... That's going to be the image that people remember from this arc, I think.
Yeah. Surprisingly, Trump didn't show up in this issue.
Yeah, but I mean, I bet Nick Spencer wanted to.
and we get Secret Empire Omega. I was just thinking, what's a generic word that they slap on on the end of a comic book every now and then? Secret Empire Omega comes out maybe even next week. So we'll talk about the weird wrap-up. I don't think this event has any ramifications for the future. I guarantee you we get a what if five issues of what if...
Hydra Cap 1.
Hydra Cap 1. And I'm kind of interested in that. I kind of want... because there's a few pages of when Cap rewrites... Hydra Cap rewrites all of American and Marvel history... In the world history, in Hydra's name, and we see a Hydra version of
The Fantastic Four
and stuff like that, and I kind of want to see all those stories. That would be fun.
On the cover of Secret Empire Omega,
Cap
looks like he has one metal arm. Does he have one metal arm now?
I mean, it's Bucky.
Yeah,
that does look like a metal arm. What's going on there? Is it meant to be Iron Man? Because he's also holding. I don't even know what's going on there.
Who knows?
That's he's half Hydra Cap.
Oh, right. Okay.
And half regular Cap.
Oh, I see. There we go. Will everyone be able to forgive him? Maybe.
Yeah. So there is a moment, a flash, if you will, where...
A point of flash.
Where, I don't know, it's something to do with the Cosmic Cube. And that's when all the heroes get sent away for one moment.
for the Generations.
For the Generations one shots that we're getting at the moment. And then they flash back. So that's why, that's what we've been wondering, the mystery of why these Generations book exist.
And the answer is caused them. Because.
Because.
Because. Because I said
Cosmic
so.
Cube. So now I think Marvel needs to just no more Cosmic Cube bullshit for a while.
Yeah.
No more like alternate versions of the heroes. Like as in like, you know, and this is the evil version of Captain America. This is the blah, blah, blah. No deception.
Mm-hmm.
No Hydra.
Yeah, let's leave Hydra alone for a hot minute.
No events would be good if we could.
But I mean, they've said that they're doing that, but that also seems like a huge lie.
Well, yeah, I mean, Legacy just seems like a bunch of one-shots, so yeah. Not like a long, drawn-out event. So that's positive.
Mm.
And Jason Aaron is doing the bulk of it, so I'm excited about that. Anyway, more Marvel books. Let's talk about Jean Grey. Number 6. Did you read this one?
Yep.
Dennis Hopeless with art by Paul Davidson. I like this series, the format of the series, where basically it's just young Jean Grey going from Marvel hero to Marvel hero, trying to figure out how to take on the Phoenix eventually. Mm-hmm. This one sees her teaming up with Doctor Strange, who is attempting to exorcise her from the kind of evil voice in her head, which ends up being the spirit of the original Jean Grey.
Yeah.
The non-time displaced Jean Grey.
It's pretty funny. It's a pretty funny twist.
Yeah. The next issue is going to have Scarlet Witch in it. I think this is really, really fun series.
Yeah, and I really liked the art on this issue. That's a funny looking Doctor Strange. I like it when, like, I feel like everyone's trying to make Doctor Strange mad handsome. And in this, he looks kind of goofy and is a bit gross and weird.
Yeah. That's a core factor of Doctor Strange.
Mm.
I love her haircut too. It's a good haircut.
It's a good haircut. Absolutely.
Another really fun book that has that reminds me a little bit of Dennis Hopeless is Robbie Thompson's Doctor Strange and the Sorcerer Supreme.
This book is so good.
A better segue would have been another book with Doctor Strange in it. Whatever.
I did think that's where you were going, but that was a funnier segue.
So issue 11, this is the penultimate issue of this series that mm-hmm. I think, I hope they collect.
It's gone longer than I thought it would.
Yeah, me too. I hope they collect it all in like a 12-issue format because it's really good.
Beautiful.
That was Nate, your disgusting boyfriend. but yeah, this is like kind of become less and less about Doctor Strange and more about these weird Sorcerer Supreme mm-hmm. throughout the ages and dimensions that have been assembled. My favorite thing about this issue was seeing who Wiccan grows up to be.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a kid with Teddy.
Beautiful.
Hulkling. There was a lot to like about this book, and it's still not finished.
Yeah.
I love that Isaac Newton is like a real jerky bad guy in this.
Yes, and we got to see Valeria as Doom. That's a really fun fun bad guy.
Yeah, I really, really hope they collect all 12 issues in one trade, because this has been a nice one to have as one collection.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good one, Doctor Strange and the Sorcerer Supreme. Good one, Robbie Thompson. And also, it used to be Javier Rodriguez on art, but Nathan Stockman is doing a great job filling in since he left on to do another book. I should have gone straight from Secret Empire into this, but Deadpool issue number 35, written by Jerry Duggan, with art by Mike Hawthorne, Terry Pallett, and Ruth Redmond, was kind of really tied into the finale of Secret Empire. And I realized that Deadpool was the one who alerted Maria Hill to where Blackout was,
mm-hmm.
so she could stop the Darkhold dimension or whatever it was. But this is like, it ends really, really grim, and like things are just kind of fucked for Deadpool now because he's realized he's like betrayed everyone by following Captain America's orders, and he's killed two S.H.I.E.L.D. agents that everyone loves.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And I don't know where the book is going to go now. And I jumped on this book just because I thought the Secret Empire tie-in issues would be fun. And now I'm going to not only stick with it, I'm probably going to go back and try and read all of Duggan's Deadpool run because I love the mix of tones that he's able to put in his stories.
Mm.
Like genuinely funny jokes and then just like really, really dark, like, oh shit, poor Deadpool.
That's nice.
Yeah. Let's talk about Black Panther.
I didn't get a copy of Black Panther this week.
No, tell them what you actually did.
Well, I read issue 16 again.
But that came out weeks ago. Black Panther 17
what
came out.
What an idiot.
What a dummy. Black Panther 17, written by Ta-Nehisi Coates with art by Chris Sprouse.
I was like, is he just doing something really like...
meta and doing like revisiting like a Groundhog
Like the exact
day?
Same format of every single issue where it starts off with Storm.
How many issues do you think of a not very popular book they could do that for? Or like a really clever book like this. Like, I reckon he could get away with one issue of doing exactly the same thing he did the last week and everyone being like, oh, Ta-Nehisi Coates is a really good writer.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what he was going for here, but you're going to stick with it. So I always kind of, in the early stages of his stories, when he's setting everything up, I'm like, oh, I don't know where he's going with this. Mm. I don't really like this, blah, 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 blah. And then suddenly I get hooked. And this was the hook of this arc, namely because it was such a massive issue focusing on Aurora Storm.
Lovely.
And because she and T'Challa are kind of seeking the romance of each other again.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird sentence.
Seeking the romance.
They're back in each other's lives, is what I'm saying. When she returns to Wakanda, a lot of the parts of Wakanda see it as the queen returning. And they call her a different name, like an African name, because they think that she's going to be able to control this torrential rain that the lands have been cursed with. And because of their like undying support and excitement for her, she's able to like amplify her powers based off of their support and stop the rains. That's just one thing that happened in this very good issue. Great issue.
Dang, the art's so nice as well.
Sprouse is so good. Black Panther and the Crew finished this week as well. This is the other Ta-Nehisi Coates book, which was co-written with Yonah Harvey, a poet, and pencils by Butch Geiss with Mac Chater, inks by Scott Hanna and Mac Chater, and colors by Dan Brown. This was the book that was putting together Black Panther, Misty Knight, Luke Cage, Manifold, and Storm. And they took a long time to kind of assemble all these characters. You know that Ta-Nehisi Coates had much greater plans to do some more with this team. The name The Crew was originally used for a Christopher Priest miniseries in the mid-2000s, or maybe earlier, maybe late 90s, but it was mostly about War Machine. This book, in spite of having like five heroes that I want to read more and more of, especially Manifold, who only showed up in like half of the last two issues. This was very much about this guy. I can't remember what his name
Ezra.
Was. Ezra. From like the 50s in Harlem. And I think, I don't know, I said this a lot when we reviewed issue 5, but I just like, I wasn't interested in that story. They failed to make that as captivating as just my excitement for seeing these five heroes together.
Yeah, I do agree. It ended up being a bit sort of
meh.
Dry and confusing.
Yeah. I think one day I will go back and read it all as a whole.
Yeah.
I loved the first issue of it. I think that's still one of my favorite first issues of the year, the first issue of The Crew. But, yeah, I think, look, and who knows how much of this was because he had to wrap things up really quickly. Mm. If it was this nice slow burn and he got to go for like 24 issues, this could have been a really great run. But sadly, we only got 6, and I guess I'm kind of disappointed overall.
Yeah, same.
Butch Geist and Mac Chater's art is wonderful, though.
Agreed.
Look, I hope this doesn't discourage Coates from doing more with Marvel, but like, fair enough if he is.
Yeah, totally.
They don't know what the good thing they got.
Absolutely. Agreed.
Infamous Iron Man by Brian Michael Bendis, Alex Maleev, and Matt Hollingsworth this week was excellent. Issue number 11 of this. You don't read this, do you?
No.
This is good, good Bendis. Again, this one had Doctor Strange in it.
Oh, yeah?
Doctor Strange. And Maleev draws, I think, just an acceptably level of handsome.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Strange.
He's a little bit goofy looking.
So Doom is kind of like allowing himself to be held by a shield, and they recruit Doctor Strange to question him to figure out what he's kind of plans are, what he's scared of, man, nice. How's that double page spread? Maleev is doing great work in this, really, really great art, and Matt Hollingsworth too, brilliant colors.
Mm.
So they basically like they enter the astral plane and they kind of interrogate as Strange interrogates him, and basically that he's been revisited by Reed Richards, and he's been visiting Ben Grimm as well, and he's been talking in lowercase, so you thought, oh, maybe it's the Maker, mm-hmm. that guy. But he's also been in cohorts with Dr. Doom's mother, who's like a crazy witch. In this issue, it's revealed who that version of Reed Richards is, which is a really fun mystery that's kind of been flying under the radar of Marvel at the moment. Skip forward 20 seconds if you don't want to hear me spoil it.
I want to know.
It's Mephisto.
Oh.
Posing as Reed Richards.
Weird.
Super cool though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so like you want to see a brilliant, brilliant page, check out how amazing... Maleev's Mephisto is.
Oh, wow. That is really great.
Apparently, you know, Doom's tried to screw him out of deals many, many times before, and this is him finally trying to get him. So I guess the next issue is going to be Strange and Doom versus Mephisto.
Cool.
It's fucking awesome.
That is cool.
What else? What did you read that I didn't?
I read Thanos issue 10 by Jeff Lemire with art by German Peralta and Rochelle Rosenberg on colors. This was such a good issue. Like, the last two issues of this comic, I've really, really, really enjoyed. And it's just been this coming together of a really sick, just cool Thanos story. And there was a really fun Uber Thanos moment in this issue that I really enjoyed.
Crushed a head.
He crushes a head in a very dramatic moment. Smushed
someone's face up.
While laughing.
I think that those big sudden displays of power are what makes Thanos a fun villain.
Yeah, and the moments of just like, you think that you're like, oh, maybe there is some sort of humanity to him, or like they're trying to sort of humanize him in some level, and then he's just like, ha ha ha, fools.
Smush.
Like Thanos. That was really good fun. I think Lemire's having a lot of fun with this.
I think the next issue is, that's it. Because...
Yeah, I'm totally cool with that.
This is another one that's being taken over by Donny Cates, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gee whiz.
I could be wrong. I think it's good, though.
It's a good series. I also read Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
I've got both these books on my pile at home.
Issue 22. Again,
as soon as I get home and finish Mario Plus Rapids, I'm going to read it. That is what I'm doing tonight.
Yeah. I could tell. This is good. I think this is like, this continues the story of Ego, the Living Planet's daughter, and Moon Girl, and it's good. Yes.
I think there's like one more issue left of this story, so we can talk about it in depth when that next issue comes out.
Excellent. And I also read issue 10 of X-Men Blue, which is the series about the young time-displaced X-Men.
By one of three Cullen Bunns.
Yeah, goodness. And this is mostly about how this version of Beast has started practicing magic to make up for various inadequacies that he feels in himself.
Is Doctor Strange in this issue?
No.
No, damn it.
But who's this horned lady? Lady with horns?
Lady Horn.
I fucking can't remember her name. Anyway, that classic X-Men villain who's a lady with horns, Devil Lady. The Goblin Queen.
Lady Horn's better, frankly.
Oh, God, this is a silly comic. Anyway.
Well, yeah, why? I'm surprised you stuck with it.
Yeah, I have stopped putting any X-Men books on my list, but Nate picks up every single X-Men book and I end up reading them anyway.
Nate, who you heard burp just 10 minutes ago. I read The Uncanny Avengers number 26.
So did I.
Written by Jim Zub with art by someone, Isaacs. Sean Isaacs. Isaacsy? I don't know. That's a cool name.
Mm.
Good name, Sean. And brilliant colors in this issue by Tamara Bonvillain. Or is it? I assume it's Bonvillain. Is it Bonvillain?
I assume it's Bonvillain.
Bonvillain is a...
Either way, it's a good name.
It's a very fun name to say when you say it potentially wrong like we do every time we say a name. Anyway.
This was like the horniest comic. Everyone was like trying to do it all throughout this comic. And therefore, it was the kind of X-Men / Avengers comic that I like.
Yeah,
and
I really
enjoyed this issue.
I love... like the horniest person in the Marvel Universe is Johnny Storm, right?
Top 10.
Lady Horn.
Gambit.
Gambit's horny as fuck.
Yeah.
Well, this is great. Actually, this is great. Let's not review any more comics. Let's work out the top 10 horniest comic characters in the Marvel Universe. Johnny Storm.
Yeah.
Gambit.
I feel like Rogue is kind of up there because she's mostly about like repressed sexuality because she's like, I'm half naked all the time, but no one can touch me.
I'm gonna put Matt Murdock in there because he's I know it doesn't seem
is it because he has little horns
but no he's been with a lot of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, Wolverine has to go up there, top 10 horny.
Yeah. I feel like no one comes near Gambit and Johnny Storm though.
No, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Good talk.
let us know who you think are hornier. Nightwing's horniest in DC, right?
Absolutely. But yeah, then like Scarlet Witch and what's his name? Jericho have a weird little sex moment. And then
that's right.
Pietro like dresses the ninja lady. I don't know what her name is.
Yeah. Quicksilver dresses Synapse, the Inhuman, like zips around her at breakneck speed and takes her pajamas off and puts her outfit on, her costume.
And he's like, I wasn't trying to be cheeky. Like, fucking hell, that's like sexual assault, Pietro. And I have no idea what else happened in this comic.
Just
like, it was just such a like meaningless villain. Just like, I'm being a bad guy.
Yeah, Gravitron shows up. Who is a bad guy named after a carnival attraction.
And he's just like, I'm a bad guy because of being a bad guy. Yeah. All right, let's just shoot you up into space.
Yeah. I'm into that, though. I kind of like real superhero comics that don't try to be anything more than what they are.
Just pure soap opera. That was good.
Those are our Marvel reviews. And I have to say, for the amount of complaints that we get in our group and from our listeners about Marvel, we're still reading more Marvel books than any other books.
But that's because Marvel put out more books than anyone else combined.
That's part of the problem. That's why everyone fucking hates them.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't mind all the Marvel books I read.
Yeah. They were all largely fine.
Let's talk about Image, baby.
Definitely the highlight of my week.
Yeah, some good books this week. You can pick the order.
Let's just talk about Crosswind first because it's at the top of the pile. And
it's great.
I love this book so much. It is so silly.
This is Gail Simone's latest book with art by Kat Staggs. It's basically a body swap Freaky Friday book.
Yeah.
In which a mobster switches bodies with a housewife.
Yeah, and easily the most fun bits are the mobster controlling the housewife's
fucking incredible
life. So fun.
Like beating the shit out of her stepson's bullies with a fry pan.
Yep.
It's so good. And then like
so good.
Yeah, I don't know if we talked about the last issue together with the dinner party.
Yeah.
But I love this book. This is one of my favorites of the year, I think.
Yeah.
Kat Staggs' art is for the most part good. Some of his it's just some of what he does with the colors on the face where it looks like a scanned photo.
Yeah, it's very dark and it's very photo referencey and there's like it's something to do with like the digital coloring.
The digital color I don't like on the faces. That's it. That's the only thing I really don't like about it.
But But it's still like, it tells a story really, really well. And it's really, this is such a fun book. And it's so fun to have Gail Simone like really just feels like she's just letting loose on something like this.
Yeah, totally. I think if you got a more cartoony comic book artist, this would come across way more like a goofy comedy. Yeah. And I think having this quite, you know, it looks like a crime book, basically.
Yeah, totally.
But with this insanely stupid premise that it really appeals to me in every way.
Yeah, it's so good. Such good fun.
Yeah, definitely pick this up if you're able to find the first three issues or online or whatever. It's a really great series.
Yeah.
I haven't heard many other people raving about it.
Yeah, I don't get it. Everyone should be reading this. This is so fun.
Should we talk about Black Magic next?
Yes, please.
By Greg Rucka and Nicola Scott. This is the witchcraft / police procedural. Mm-hmm. Book. And this one was way more about the police procedural side.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most that has ever really been featured in a series so far.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that because Greg Rucka, don't know if you've ever read any of his books, but he writes the fuck out of a police procedural.
He loves scene. A good police procedural.
Procedural is a shit word to say.
It's tough. And he loves a sort of... what am I trying to say?
Policeman.
Like hard talking, drinking police woman.
Yeah, yeah.
That's his favorite thing.
And I think what he does best, though, is the partnership.
Yes.
We saw it done so well in Gotham Central, but...
Yeah.
The partnership between the two...
Rowan and her partner, whose name I've forgotten. Handsome square jawed. Catman. He kind of looks like Catman.
I forgot Rowan's name, so yeah. You're doing better than I am.
I'm very interested to know more about their relationship because there's some kind of weird unspoken tension there that I'm heaps into.
I think he knows she's a witch.
Oh, yeah?
Or at least suspects her. Imagine finding out that your police partner on the beat was a witch.
Whoa, that would be hard to take.
That's what this comic should be called. Imagine if your police partner on the beat was a witch by Gregory Rucka and Nicola Scott.
That's beautiful.
Beautiful looking art, incredible black and white colors. I know that seems like that's a redundant collection of words to put together, but they've been digitally... There's a purpleness to the grays.
And the color assists are done by Chiara Arena. Chiara? I have no clue, obviously.
But she lives in Sydney.
Hey.
Let's call her up and ask her.
Yeah.
Because I've got all the Sydney numbers right here.
There's only 16.
Great issue. Great series. Even though I don't remember what happens issue to issue, each issue is captivating.
Absolutely. It's the most beautiful black and white movie.
It really is. Should we talk about Saga without spoiling anything?
How?
I don't know.
It was good. Like, if you're reading Saga already, I don't know what we're going to say that's going to convince you. Everyone's reading Saga.
Oh, everyone except there's a 16-year-old guy in our Facebook group. Shout out to Jordan from New Zealand. And I feel like every
from New Zealand?
Every single day he asks if he should read Saga.
Yes.
And then doesn't.
Just
and
read
then
it
the
already.
Next week we'll be like, hey, should I read Saga? I'm like, Jordan, I fucking told you. You need to read Saga.
Also, Jordan, are you focusing on your studies enough? Because you post in that group a lot. Like, I'm into it. You post some really interesting questions.
Siobhan, you sound like a mum right now.
I'm a mum right now.
I don't know. He's like the backbone of the group right now.
He's a good kid.
He's really good at asking those open-ended questions that everyone wants an answer. Like,
yeah, totally.
You know, who's your favorite specific superhero that can do this? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Jordan, you should read Saga. He was a bit concerned that, you know, given his age and his taste in comics so far, that he's heard that there's a lot of...
It's a lot of dicks.
There's a whole lot of monster dicks in Saga. But I think...
I don't understand why that's not a selling point.
I think that that Saga is a... And this is a perfect example. This issue in particular deals with a very adult issue.
Mm.
But I think if you were to read this and if this was the first ever comic that addressed this issue... that you'd ever experience, I think it does so in such a mature way that presents two sides to an argument all the time and never judges the people doing either like a sexual act or something because of a sexual act.
Yep.
Or, you know, any of the very adult scenarios that this space opera deals with every issue. I think there are a lot of comics that deal with these, that are terrible introductions to these ideas.
Mm.
You know, sex is a big part of a lot of the comics that we talk about.
Yeah.
It certainly isn't.
It's the backbone of X-Men.
Except X-Men, obviously. Let us know your horniest X-Men characters as soon as possible.
It's all of them.
yeah, shit, we didn't. Yeah, we should just gone through all the X-Men characters. But, oh, by the way, I reread Cy Spurrier's Legion comic.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a brilliant sex, like, sex scene in that.
Oh, yeah.
Towards the end. But it's like mind sex. It's not really. I love when they do that shit.
Yeah, amazing.
Oh, Emma Frost.
Yeah.
Horny as fuck character.
Absolutely.
she doesn't have sex with Legion. No spoilers. but Saga, I think, is a great introduction to the idea of sex being a big part of comics.
Absolutely. I agree. And I think, like, Saga is the one comic that I've never heard anyone, like, no one has a bad word to say about Saga. Everyone loves Saga who's read it.
Yeah, everyone, like, you only hear people like go like, oh, I was let down by this issue because their expectations were so stupidly high.
Yeah.
Because of how much I loved the one before it.
And again, like, Fiona Staples does just such incredible character design. Like, the doctor in this, who's like a doctor with big saggy boobies. I loved it.
A wolf doctor.
You wolf doctor. Yeah, sorry, yeah. Sorry. Wolf doctor with saggy boobies. I loved it. That was great.
Now go back and do your homework, Jordan.
For Pete's sake.
Listen to the rest
actually,
of this
I don't
tomorrow.
Care. Just
don't do
free comics.
I didn't. I never did my homework.
Me neither.
What were you talking about? I'd fuck studies.
Yeah. Free comics.
I say as your boyfriend is literally studying behind us.
Yeah, but like not mainstream schooling studies. Christ.
Yeah, learn to study when you regret not studying.
Yes.
As an adult.
That's how it works. It's the only way it works.
Deadly Class, issue number 30. Speaking of studying, these guys study at a school for murderers. this is written by Rick Remender with Wes Craig and Jordan Boyd. And this was a real fun road trip to Mexico issue.
Yeah, the art's excellent.
In which
always.
We see members of this year at Deadly Class accidentally meet up with members of last year.
Mm-hmm.
This does such a great job of they really want you to love both the great things and also the flaws about each of the characters in this year that we're focusing on in the group. Whereas I feel like in those early issues, some of them were too flawed.
Yeah.
All these characters are fucked up, but they've got a lot of heart, and you can forgive all of them for all the fucked up things, almost.
Man, it's so classic Remender, though. Like, he just occasionally puts something really, like, weird and fucked up in an issue for no reason. Like, the bit
you
where...
mean poo?
Yeah.
He always, it's always poo. There's so much poo in this. Jordan, if you ever read Deadly Class, there's a lot of poo.
Poo. In this, a guy goes down a slide, like a children's slide in a park, and the kids shit in the thing for no reason.
And then he tells the guy behind him to go down head first.
Like, and there was no reason for that to happen in the story.
It was funny.
It was pretty funny. It was pretty funny. We're talking about it. I guess it had the desired effect.
And it is an important part of Deadly Class thus far. Like, why drop that part of this book? There's been a lot of pooing.
Yeah, it's true. And it is like... It is weirdly grounding. Everybody poops. Jordan.
That's a kid's book that someone is going to give you ironically at some point.
Yeah, I can't wait.
This is a very cool issue. The momentum that this has gained the last 10 issues or so has been thrilling.
It's good.
Great book. I read two Image books that you did not. Hilariously, I am now reading Savage Dragon.
See, now I feel like I really need to step up my game and get into Savage Dragon.
I did an episode with Jim from King's Comics, and he is the world's biggest Savage Dragon fan. He was very, very thrilled when Eric Larson retweeted the picture of us both talking about Savage Dragon.
Adorable.
This is issue number 226. Jim made me read issue 225, which was like a big bonus issue, kind of was a good jumping on point, I guess. Mm-hmm. And this is such a crazy book that looks great.
Mm-hmm.
Trump is all over this book. Like, straight up, it's just Donald Trump. He, and
like, on the cover.
On the cover. Yelling, kill them, kill the aliens.
It's very crazy that you can just have the President of the United States as a villain in a comic.
And apparently...
And it's published by an American company.
Obama was a good guy.
Yeah.
In this book for a while as well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there was a period where Obama was in like every single comic book coming out. It was so
an exciting
weird.
Time. but yeah, like I love Eric Larson's art. I didn't realize how much I loved it until I started reading this. I think a lot of it lies in, like, I think if this didn't have, I think it's Nikos Koutsis is the colorist. And the colors are fucking like such a good match to his, you know, very like, not, it's not simplistic. It's actually very detailed, but it's, you know, it's of its time. He hasn't adapted his style to the more modern kind of way of cartooning since his style was so was the norm in the 90s. But I think the book really stands out because of that. And but it's got modern colors on it though, so yeah, it's great. I'm really, really stoked to be reading Savage Dragon now, and I think I'm going to actually go back and reread it from the start.
Wow.
At some point in my life.
Yeah, like,
as soon as I finish Mario plus Rabbids, I'm going to have so much time.
But so what's actually going on in it? Just Trump's, like, getting rid of aliens.
So there are all these generations of dragons now. Cool. That are aliens, I guess, that live on Earth. Mm-hmm. And this now focuses on the son of the original Savage Dragon and his children. And he is a police officer.
Great.
But because Trump is basically saying, you know, basically turning it up a notch as far as, like, alien hatred, basically this issue ends with Savage Dragon getting arrested.
Cool.
Because of Trump. It's all Trump's fault.
Damn it. That jerk.
That jerk, according to the comics. That's all. Imagine if you...
It's the only way I get my news.
Yeah, exactly. You only got your news through comics. What a funny concept for a comic.
I'm so glad Hydra's finally fallen.
Finally, I read Stray Bullets, issue number 27 of Sunshine and Roses by David Lapham. Not more to say other than this is my favorite book and I love it. And every single time it comes out, I'm overjoyed and I read it first.
Nice.
And this ended, like, this is a very, very gritty crime book that has moments of, like, warmth, then backed with the most, like, depraved criminal, like, awful thing happening. And this ends with one of the most sickening panels I've ever seen in a comic. But it's one of those good gross out moments. Like, it felt like, yeah, it felt really, really good to be grossed out by this comic.
That's good.
It's not really a massive spoiler. So there's two criminals on the run. One of them is a woman who is much older than him. Like she's someone's mother, basically. He's a, you know, a teenage delinquent. And they've both been injured. They're both, like, on the mend. And there is a sexual tension between them as they kind of go from throughout America, like almost Bonnie and Clyde style, fucking up a bunch of people.
Wow.
And robbing and stuff like that. And she wonders if they will have sex, and he's like, no, I'm not into it, blah blah blah. Like it's nothing against you, I just, like, you know, I'm not into it, blah blah blah. And they go on a particularly accidentally violent crime spree, and he sees a woman's, like, an older woman's face, like, basically pulverized by a shotgun in front of him.
Ugh.
And that night they have sex.
And
she's like, what's got it into you? Why do you want to now? And he goes, oh, no reason. And then the last panel is just the picture of the woman's face being fucked up by the shotgun.
Ugh.
And it's so grim and it's so gross.
That's horrible.
But, like, it's just, this is the tone of this book.
Good
and
Lord.
I swear to God, it's the fucking best book. And, like,
I'd never want to read that. That's awful.
It's very cartoony style. Like, I'll show you.
Oh, that makes it better.
It's rough.
Oh yeah, that's way better. Oh, good Lord.
I know, this makes me sound real sick. Jordan, probably don't read Stray Bullets.
Go to bed.
Me?
I don't know.
Soon. We got a couple comics to talk about first. So
speaking of being grossed out but in a good way.
All right.
Can we just transfer over to everything else now?
Oh, yeah, of course. That wasn't even a segue to a book. Just the rest of the podcast, which sickens you now.
I want to talk about Lady Killer by Joelle Jones with colors by Michelle Madsen. I fucking love this book.
Yeah,
this
is so good. Didn't get around to reading this.
Oh, no.
I've got it. I will. I'm
this
sure. I was like, I know I'm going to like it.
Yeah.
I opened up the first page and saw that it delved into her kind of history with her mother. And I was like, I was like, I was already late to come here. So I was like, fuck it. I got to read it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is a really, really great issue. We get to see a little bit of her backstory. And then we also get to see the kind of conclusion of what happens with Irving.
Oh shit! Is it like and a, also like a breakaway?
Really sick. Yeah,
that's great. When there's you see the cross section of a house, that's good stuff.
Joel Jones is so good. Like there is so much that is great about this comic. Like it's so extraordinarily beautiful, and everything looks so like perfect and 50s and like lush. And then the violent bits are so like violent and horrible and extreme and gory, but it's still like
right. So when Joel Jones super says it, it's watchable. Okay, is it?
Yes, absolutely. She bashes a dude's head in with a brick in this, and it's very graphic. And then and I
she
loved
has
it.
Sex, right? Because it...
no, then her husband. I'm not gonna, you know, that's I'm not gonna spoil it. It's a good issue, though.
Yeah, I will read that. And there should be a lot of new fans to Joel Jones after picking up Supergirl being super.
This is a very different book, though.
But definitely pick it up. It's excellent.
Yeah, agreed.
So we're talking about other publishers right now.
Yep.
Lady Killer is put out by Dark Horse.
If you couldn't tell by my exquisite segue.
We're also going to talk about another Dark Horse book that Shinbone did not read.
Yep.
I thought this series was going to end. Rebels by Brian Wood, Andrea Mutti, Lauren Affie, and Matt Taylor. This is a kind of a basically like American history fiction. So it's like a story of historical fiction, but timed to real events that actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, it's been a kind of like about a family in the in like the, through various like, you know, to leading up to like the Boston Tea Party and that kind of thing. This one goes way back to 1753, and we see a story about young George Washington.
Oh.
Before, I think before America was founded. When was America founded, Nate?
1492.
No, I'm very fucking wrong then. Wait, what did George Washington do?
First president.
So, before... Fuck, should I edit this out because I sound like a real idiot? I'm going to leave it in. No one judge me, guys.
I'm just keeping very quiet.
You're quiet because you don't know either.
I don't know shit. But.
So, all right, he was the first president. He didn't... Christopher Columbus discovered America.
Yes.
A doy.
Doy.
And then he directed the first Harry Potter movie and Home Alone. So this is, before he was president, before he was the first president, this is a story of young George Washington in Virginia taking on a French colony.
Oh.
And it was like this kind of real cool, I think it was a one shot. I don't know.
Mm.
But like this was like, if you have been like hearing us like vaguely talk about this series that I like, even though I know fuck all about American history, like... this is a great one to kind of pop in on.
Mm.
It was really, really cool. I don't know. It's I loved this.
Mm.
Rebels. Super cool. Enjoyable. This one was called The Virginian.
Lovely.
And if this is just like going to be like this American history one-shot thing from now on, I'm all the way on board as I can butcher my retellings of when I think things happened in America. Also, fuck, like you know, we like fucking 45% of our listenership is in America.
We know nothing about you. See, guys.
Australia was founded in 1788. That was what I got confused with.
Yeah.
I realize America is way older.
A little bit older.
Like you're like...
we're like the cool young cousin.
Yeah, that's right. Who has all the CDs.
Mm.
So let's talk about some Valiant books. We got the finale of Rapture, the Valiant team-up book with Ninjak. Shadow Man,
Punk Mambo,
Rex the Razor, and Tama, written by Matt Kint with art by Kafu, and Juan Jose Rip, and Francis Portella.
Nice.
It's getting late, everybody. It's getting real, real late. And I thought this ending was confusing, but then quite fulfilling at the end, towards the very end. Only confusing because I don't know anything about Shadow Man.
Yeah, I didn't understand who all of these shiny men were.
They're like gods conjured by the bad guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
But I really enjoyed the kind of girl, Tama, going back to where this series started, to the demon that she promised she would return to try and free. I thought that was really sweet.
Yeah, that was nice. And I'm excited for what they're going to do with the Shadow Man character now, mostly because of this one page
by Greg Smallwood,
yeah. Which looks incredible. I don't know if that's going to be what the actual comic
Shadow
is
Man,
like.
Is it? Looks great.
Yeah.
Listeners, it looks great.
It looks incredible.
It sounds, that's the sound of this page.
Amazing. But we are not going to see that until 2018. Oh, man.
the 28th of March 2018. Valiant so loved to tease you. They love to tease you. Well, you mean you got a lock? Everyone knows when their comics are coming out.
I mean, Marvel and DC seem to have a very, I don't know, whatever.
What would you rather just said? March.
Yeah.
Next year sometime. I also read Faith and the Future Force, issue number 2, written by Jody Hauser, with art by Barry Kitson, Diego Bernard, and Ulysses Areola.
That's a good name.
Real good. It seems very really made off, right?
Ulysses Areola. It's a good porn name.
So this is about basically like at some point in time, there is some bullshit that goes down. And so a character whose name is Neela Sethi basically enlists Faith in the first issue to come and stop this thing from happening. And Faith dies. So Neela returns to the time that she got Faith and is like, we need more.
Right.
And then so Faith returns with her kind of sciets or whatever from, I don't know, some Valiant series that everyone tells me I should read that I haven't read yet. But they're not like the big Valiant guys. And then they all die too. So Neela returns and this issue ends with Faith with all of the big hitters from the Valiant universe. Like all of them. You've got Exo Manowar. You've got Archer and Armstrong. You've got Bloodshot. You've got Ninjak.
Nice.
Look, I named five of the characters.
Quantum and Woody.
Yep.
I don't know. I can't.
Yeah, they're in there too. But Quantum and Woody. So I guess the next one will be fun. Yeah.
Cool.
Time Walker is the no. She's Neela is a Time Walker.
I don't know what that means.
Anyway, it's written by Jody Hauser, and I know she does the main Faith book too, which I don't like, but I quite liked this, and I actually quite liked the character of Faith in this.
Might be worth checking back in on the main book.
Maybe, I should. Archie and Pals. No, Your Pal Archie. This week, issue number 2, written by Dan Parent and Ty... Well, sorry, written by Ty Templeton with art by Dan Parent. Speaking of Parent... Ing.
Nice.
I read this with my son, Archie, who loves it because his name is on the front cover, before bed.
It's good.
3 nights in a row this week.
Whoa.
This is the finale to a story in which Archie wins the lottery. Or does he, Shinbone?
Oh, my God. Was it a dream sequence?
No, it was a Jughead fuck-up, obviously. Oh, but it was obviously a very funny one. And I think Ty Templeton completely nails the feel of a classic Archie strip.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't tie into Wade's Archie run at all, but there's just slight modernizations in the dialogue and the kind of subject matter that doesn't feel naff. I know you have a problem with Dan Parent, who does the art.
Yeah, it's just not my favorite.
It's bland. Like I just completely ignored it. It just kind of looks like a comic book strip, and I think it suits the story really well.
I hate that they've made Archie's hair cooler, and it's not just like two like little buns on the top of his head.
Yeah. They slightly modernized it, but also like he'll slightly modernize characters' fashion by just like making their jeans a bit higher.
Yeah, like
3/4 pants.
Yeah,
it's like pedal pushes. You know, they're real cool in 2017.
It's like, this is my problem with Dan Parent, is it's modernized by someone who's never seen a current teenager.
Well, his name isn't Dan Teenager, Shinbone.
It's a really good point.
Would you read a book by Dan Tina? It's gonna review the next book. Kill the bit.
So I also read issue 4 of Victor Laval's Destroyer. So this is like the sort of modernization of
Frankenstein.
The Frankenstein myth, but also with the original Frankenstein monster in it as a sort of bad guy, I guess.
He's just kind of like he kills the good guys. Force. He kills the bad guys. He doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, he really doesn't.
He'll kill
I don't
you,
think he knows what's going on.
Listener. And me.
But I like this a lot, and I like the reveal at the end. Victor, this could be I don't know if this is like the original Victor Frankenstein reborn, but he has a sweet bowl cut.
Wow.
That's all I have to say.
It's almost like Friar Tuck, but Friar Tuck has like
he's
the
got
bit
a little
missing
hole
in the middle.
Yeah. It's an important element of the Friar hairstyle.
Bring it back.
Yeah, that's what I say.
Give that to Archie, Dan Parent, if you're listening.
What all the cool kids are wearing.
So those are the reviews of all the books that we read this week.
I hope that was of value.
It was, absolutely.
Yeah.
Some great jokes.
Yeah, absolutely.
A burp, it was in there too. You want another one?
What a delight.
No, it's not coming. I was going to give you another one.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Venomverse issue number one is one of the books coming out this week. We read all of the edge of Venomverse leading up. There's also a Venomverse war story starting as well.
Oh my God.
So there's a whole bunch of Venom-y. We just said Marvel not doing events. This is absolutely an event, Marvel. What are you doing?
Yeah, they were like, we're not doing any main events, but there will still be an X-Men event and a Spider-Man event. So...
There's a new Black Sable series starting. It looks very sexy.
Black Sable?
I don't know, but I'm just looking forward to what's coming out this week at King's. The Marvel Generations book is Iron Man and Ironheart. There's a Captain Phasma Star Wars book starting.
I look forward to not reading that.
Really? You didn't like her in...
Yeah, I did.
Maybe this is going to be her escaping the trash compactor.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. That's a good point.
Yeah. That would be fun, right? Someone jumping out of a bin.
Is that a Kingsman manga?
There is a new Kingsman book starting, written by Rob Williams, with art by Simon Fraser.
Huh.
Check that one out. It's got a Frank Quitely cover though. It looks pretty awesome. And there's a bunch of other stuff.
Just scrolling. Scrolling through
is
the
Kingsman.
Oh,
the second
website.
Issue of that Elsewhere book that everyone yelled at us because we didn't know who that missing pilot was.
You idiot.
Yeah, I listen to Do Go On. It's a great podcast. Thanks for telling me, 50 people. there's a book called Scales and Scoundrels coming out through Image. It's written by some people that I don't know. But what are your thoughts on Scales and Scoundrels? What do you prefer of the two?
Scoundrels.
Yeah, me too.
100%.
Cool. All right, good talk. Thank you so much for a brilliant issue. I told you it'd be the best, and it absolutely was.
Absolutely was.
Let us know how much you enjoyed the best episode of Serious Issues by finding us at facebook.com/Serious Issues Podcast or facebook.com/groups/Serious Issues Podcast. If you want to discuss the episode, the comics within it, or comics in general, you can find us on Twitter @Serious_Issues or individually @SiobhanCBG or @LevDog. We're also on Instagram on those exact same usernames. Shoot us a bell. Tell us hi. Tell us hi. And if you would like to support the show, to just, you know, pay for more late nights discussing comic books while our children sleep, you can head to patreon.com/seriousissuespodcast. There's a whole bunch more bonus content going up very, very soon. We've got a graphic novels wrap-up episode happening again in a couple of weeks. And again, the Q&A episode, please send us your questions to seriousissuespatreon@gmail.com or seriousissues@kingscomics.com or, you know, both of them.
Mm.
Just write both those emails down. Put them both in.
Yeah.
See which of us replies to you sooner. thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week at... You gotta finish it. Space Jump.
I was not prepared for that.
Yeah, where are they going to see us?
I don't know. The internet?
See you at the internet. Hey, this is Levins. Thanks so much for listening to Serious Issues. If you're not completely sick of my voice by now, why don't you check out one of my other podcasts? One is called Hey Fam, and is about comedy and pop culture, so like comic book movies and comic book TV shows, all that kind of thing. The other one is called The Mitchin, and it's all about the food and bar scene in Sydney. You can find both of them on iTunes or download them directly at yolevins.com/podcasts. Thanks so much for your support, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.